Let's pray. Father, I ask that you would do in a fresh way this morning, January 3rd, 2016, what you did some 2,000 years ago. And that's that you would send anew the promise of your Father before us, Lord Jesus, and renew in us, kindle in us a passion for the commission that you've given us to be and make disciples of Jesus Christ. We thank you indeed, Father, for this last year. As we look backward, we are thankful and I trust appropriately humbled in thankfulness for all that you have accomplished through your people. And yet, Father, we look forward relentlessly with great focus into 2016 with the vision that you've given us for 2020. So now come and help us, Lord, to be grateful as well as hopeful. In Jesus' name, amen. January 3rd, 2016. We are 3 days into a brand new year. And so you're in church, time for true confessions. How are you doing on your resolutions? Anybody have any resolutions? Some of you do? I'm glad that you do. The great Jonathan Edwards did. He had 57 of them that he composed over his lifetime, sought to live out. Others of you kind of roll your eyes, maybe the eyes of your heart, not just the eyes of your head, at the idea of resolutions. Not because you don't believe you don't need to change, but rather because you've kind of been there. The passing of one calendar year into another no longer carries with it the prospect or the giddy excitement for change that it once had. It's not so much that you're against resolutions, it's just that you're for reality, right? Oscar Wilde once said that resolutions are checks that men write to draw on a bank where they have no account. Another person said that a New Year's resolution is something that goes in one year and out the other. That was for Craig Gilbertson, by the way, if he's here. In one year and out the other. Mark Twain said this of January 1st. This is what he said. New Year's Day is the accepted time to make your resolutions. Next week, you can begin paving hell with them as usual. There's a lot of truth in that last one. Good intentions. That's what resolutions are, after all. Good intentions. Now, to be and make disciples of Jesus Christ. Resolution of ours or commission from our Lord? To be and make disciples of Jesus Christ, good intention of the church or unstoppable objective of the sovereign King of the universe? To be and make disciples of Jesus Christ is not a New Year's resolution until we find something else to do. It is our mission from our Lord until he returns. This is the first of 52 Sundays of 2016, and we need to begin by calibrating the compass of our fellowship to true north. And the way to do that is to begin by stating the mission of our church. The mission of Mount Evangelical Free Church is to be and make disciples of Jesus Christ. The mission of our church is to be and make disciples of Jesus Christ. Those eight words are everything to us. Those eight words contain not merely our mission, our reason for existing, but if you ponder them for a moment, they reveal our philosophy of ministry. Jesus says in Mark 1:17, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." We treasure those words so much, they're inscribed above our coffee bar in Fellowship Hall. Our mission statement, as captured in the words of Jesus in Mark 1:17, isn't simply to utter what we're on about as a church, but how we're on about it. Does that make sense? I believe this since my first steps in the Lord some 17 years ago, and the burden of this philosophy has only grown stronger. What I mean is this: health is the means to growth. Depth is the key to breadth. What we win people with, I assure you, we will win them too. As we say more recently with our vision statement, we serve what's in our cupboard. What we grow in the fields is what we load on the trucks. We can only export what we are manufacturing. Jesus said in Luke 6:45, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So if you want to fish for people, then follow Jesus. He will make you become a fisher of men. The mission of Mount Free Church is to be and make disciples of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Now, I'm not planning for Jesus to delay another 100 years before his second advent. I plan and pray and hope that his return is far sooner. However, if he were to tarry, let's say, another 100 years, our mission would still be relevant. The Great Commission has an expiration date built into it, and it's called the end of the age, which has not come upon us yet. So our mission is relevant 100 years from now, but our vision, that's different. Vision has an end in sight. For us, we've chosen January 2020. So we call it the 2020 vision. 1 year ago, we first cast the 2020 vision. The mission of Mount Free Church is to be and make disciples of Jesus Christ. Therefore, our 2020 vision is to glorify God as a gospel-centered church family that celebrates and demonstrates and communicates the good news of Jesus Christ among all people. By the way, I realize you have a series of bullet points as opposed to numbers, so I'll try to be as clear as I can be in repeatedly referencing these. By 7 goals. Number 1, baptizing 50 new believers. Number 2, welcoming 40 covenant members. 3, raising up 30 reproducing leaders. 4, establishing the Harbor Center for Biblical Counseling with 5 certified counselors. 6, commissioning 2 families for global missions. And 7th, Lord willing, January 2020, planting 1 church. Now, you'll hear those again repeatedly throughout the end of the sermon. That's the 2020 vision, and we're possessed by it. Like Jacob wrestling with the angel, we will not let God go until he blesses us with this. So how are we doing? We're 1 year in. We're 12 months closer to January 2020. Are we making any progress? Lest we be weighed and found wanting, we ought to step on the scale, don't you think? I realize that's a terrible analogy right after the holidays. Who in their right mind would step on a scale on January 3rd, right? We're all wearing our baggiest clothes today. It's not the way I mean that. This sort of economy, we actually want to weigh something. Yes, we're a small church, but that's not the question. The question is not one of size, but rather one of substance. Not a particular quantity of disciples, but a particular quality of discipleship. However, numbers are useful, and so as you've seen, we have 7 numbers that we're, in particular, we're watching. And in the time that remains this morning, we're going to visit each of these goals. We'll look backward over 2015 and see evidences of God's grace, as well as looking forward to 2016, hopeful about what he's going to accomplish among us. And just so we stay encouraged, I'm going to approach each of these goals in our 2020 vision, starting by calling attention to clear evidences of God's grace and moving on to, let's just say, areas for growth. Bullet point number 2, welcoming 40 covenant members. Welcoming 40 covenant members. Why covenant membership? Because love, real biblical love in the church, is an oath-bound commitment in relationship. That's what a covenant is, and that's what love is. It's covenantal by its very nature. 1 John 4:7 calls us to love one another. This word is abused, granted, in the broader culture. But in the Bible, love is a bloody cross. Love is a joyful, painful, steady commitment to serve one another with our whole lives. So here's how we say it in our membership covenant. Having been led, as we believe, by the Spirit of God to receive Jesus Christ as the Lord, Savior, and supreme treasure of our lives, baptized as a visible and tangible expression of the gospel, and desiring to fully engage in this church's mission to be and make disciples of Jesus Christ, we do now most solemnly and joyfully enter into covenant with one another as one body in Christ. With God's gracious help, as fellow members of this local church, zealous to manifest the work of the gospel in our lives, we will love one another with brotherly affection. Consider others more significant than ourselves. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Be at peace with one another. Speak the truth to one another. Confess our sins to one another. Pray for one another. Instruct one another. Build one another up. Seek to do good to one another. Outdo one another in showing honor, and offer hospitality to one another with a glad heart. Furthermore, as an expression of our sincere desire to support the vitality of the ministries of this fellowship, we eagerly resolve to attend weekly worship gatherings, confirm and nourish our faith in the taking of the Lord's Supper in a worthy manner, participate in community group life, and deploy and discover our spiritual gifts in loving service, contribute cheerfully and sacrificially of our financial resources to the advance of the gospel through this local church, obey our leaders and seek to hold them accountable for their leadership, and engage in personal evangelism with those within our sphere of influence. That's the covenant. How'd we do in 2015? Strictly speaking, during 2015, we welcomed two covenant members, Andrew Harmon and Peggy Benz. How ought we to feel about that? You know what I think? I think we ought to be thrilled. Our membership covenant is not for the faint of heart. Would you agree? As one brother said to me not long ago, you guys really want people to look deep before you leap. Yep. We're not looking for 1,000 spiritual kindergartners. We are scanning this city and the cities that surround it for 100 spiritual Navy SEALs. Now, you take those two covenant members, and alongside them, the previous members of our church that became covenant members over this past year, and that number jumps to 32 in a hurry. We currently have 32 covenant members in this church. Two of whom we're counting toward the 2020 vision. And you add to that the gathering of our newest community group launching this month, the Explorer's Porch, that is designed specifically for the purpose of unfolding to regular attendees and recent visitors our statement of faith and our commitment to love and our hope for the future and our vision. I doubt not that that number is going to jump again in 2016, and this time more significantly. Several of the goals in our vision, we may have the number too low. I think that may be the case with covenant membership. At least 40 by 2020. If you're a regular attendee or relatively new to our midst or interested in learning more about how we tick as a church or how to be involved, I invite you to talk to Guy and Brenda here at the end of the service. They would love to extend the hospitality of welcoming you into their home over this next season for that group. And if you're already a member and haven't taken the step of covenant membership, come and talk to me. I would love to see you sign your name on this sheet of paper that I keep in the flyleaf of my Bible and look at almost every day and pray for the people on it. Welcoming 40 covenant members. Friends, we're on our way. Let's look at the third bullet point, third goal. Raising up 30 reproducing leaders. Raising up 30 reproducing leaders. Paul says to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:2, what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. How many years did Jesus train the 12? Three years. 36 months. A reproducing leader is a man or a woman who can take another person under their wing for, say, a period of 36 months, 3 years, and over that period of time, you give them everything. Everything you know about Jesus, everything that by God's grace you are becoming through Jesus, and everything you can possibly do to help this person grow in their likeness to Jesus. A reproducing leader is a Christ follower who, by God's grace, is able to transfer their Christian convictions and their Christian character and their Christian ministry competencies to another person who is able, in turn, to do that for another person who is able to, in turn, do that for another person. 2 Timothy 2:2 speaks of four generations. You hand the baton to another and stay with them long enough till that exchange is made as they pass the baton on to another who will, in turn, pass it to another. Four generations. It would take about 12 years if you're thinking through it sequentially. By the way, if you work out the exponential growth there, that's about 100 people trained for the ministry of the gospel in 12 years. Now notice, I'm not talking about 30 pastors or elders or deacons, or missionaries, or church planters, or teachers, or group leaders, or counselors, although I'm not excluding them. They could be reproducing leaders. I hope and pray that many of those folks would, as just a normal course of life, be a personal discipler of others. A reproducing leader is an ordinary, thank you, disciple of Jesus. A mature mentor, a personal trainer in helping others to follow Christ and helping others to help others to follow Christ. And we're aiming at 30 of them. Roughly 15 men, 15 women is how we're thinking about it. How are we doing? Well, you could argue that we've got about a dozen or so believers currently in the church along this queue. Think of Seth Brickley and Guy Runkel and Andy Kaler and Caleb Brickley and Kara Kaler and Melissa Abernethy and Matt Hendrickson, among many others. Now, to my fault, I don't think that we've been deliberately tapping and training and tracking such personal discipling relationships as well as we could be. So one of our aims during 2016 is to specifically call out individuals who are a part of this process and encourage and equip them and let them know that they are a part of this process and then track those relationships as they develop. 2015 was a good year raising up reproducing leaders, but I think with a little more organization and some concerted effort, 2016 will be a better year for raising up reproducing leaders. Fourth bullet point, launching 10 community groups. Launching 10 community groups. Acts 2:42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to the prayers. Sometimes we're asked, where are small groups in the New Testament? Answer, the New Testament church was small groups. That's what Acts 2:42 is. We entered 2015 with 7 community groups. We ended 2015 with 9 community groups. 2 groups were launched this past year, the women's community group led by Brenda Runkel and the community group led by Seth and Brianna Brickley. Not only that, but the previous 7 groups from 2014 and prior have held and continue to meet to this day. Additionally, we've seen the development of a monthly men's ministry, also led by our associate pastor, Seth, as well as an additional ladies' Bible study begun by Kathy Odell, but currently led by Monica Totman. And as we've mentioned, there's plans for a new group launching this month, the Explorer's Porch. These are very good indicators. Now, I'd be remiss if we didn't mention a couple of areas for growth. We'd be happy to see more groups increase over 2016. If the Lord would do that, that would be wonderful. However, over the 2016, our baseline goal will be to strengthen the hand of our current group leaders, as well as the health in the individual groups. In many ways, over the last decade or so, one of the weaknesses of our church, for which I am responsible, by and large, along with the elders, has been a lack of ongoing training and encouragement and kind of collegial fellowship for our group leaders. We've known it for some time. Dave and Karen Brickley, Craig and Jenny Gilbertson, Andy and Kara Kaler, and others have faithfully led and facilitated and served groups of people in their home for years without very little hands-on pastoral help in terms of the dynamics of leading groups. They've done it with almost no support other than the writing of community group questions every week and a thumbs up here and there. In 2016, that will change. The enhancing of the quality of our community groups will be front and center. We will focus on the quality of our groups as over against the quantity of them. Healthy things multiply, we're confident, especially as it relates to group life. So the training of community group leaders is going to be specifically on the docket for 2016. This was an encouraging year, I think, with related to group life. But by January 2020, I think we'll see that 2016 was a year forward as well. Fifth, and perhaps most encouraging of all of the evidences of God's grace over this past year with reference to our vision, fifth bullet point, establishing the Harbor Center for Biblical Counseling with 5 certified counselors. Establishing the Harbor Center for Biblical Counseling with 5 certified counselors. Paul says, the Apostle Paul says in Romans 15:14, I myself am satisfied about you, my brothers, that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and are competent to counsel one another. Every local church is a counseling center. We believe that the Lord is calling us to have a counseling center. We're going to call it the Harbor Center for Biblical Counseling. 4 years from now, our church plans to maintain and oversee a nonprofit, entirely church-based, community-oriented center for biblical counseling. Counseling that we will offer to the city of Mound, as well as the West Tonka area and the broader West Metro free of charge. We believe that God is calling our church to do this, to go deep and to hang in long with people through biblical, gospel-saturated, spirit-empowered soul care. Most of American evangelicalism specializes in short and shallow. And so we will focus our care and cure of souls on deep and long. As a congregation, we are committed to sustaining and healing and reconciling and guiding saints and sinners alike, using the wisdom of the scriptures as they point to the wonderful counselor, Jesus Christ. It is our rock-solid conviction that the gospel offers the comprehensive rescue for all people everywhere, no matter what the nature of our struggle is. And we've seen it over this past year. The Bible is authoritative and sufficient to address matters ranging from suffering to depression to addiction to anxiety and many more. We believe that the Bible is sufficient. And 2015 was a step forward toward this goal, yes it was. From January 2015 to April 2015, our church sought to understand and begin to work out from the ground up what a biblical vision for soul care could look like in the local church. The sermon series was entitled Competent to Counsel, a Biblical Vision for Soul Care in the Church, and all of the hours of preaching are there at mountfree.org. They cover the waterfront with reference to this issue, related to counseling convictions as well as counseling competencies. Furthermore, there are also a number of hours of teaching through a 2-part seminar that we held here in spring of 2015 that covered the history of soul care in the church and in the culture. And it was called What Hath Jerusalem to Do with Athens? It was a historical survey of 3,000 years of counseling. Actually, that's not entirely true. We still have to load up the last 500 years, and we'll do that, hopefully, in the next season, although I've taught on all of it through Mound for You over this past year. Suffice it to say, we've done some in-house training. But how precisely are we doing on our goal of 5 certified counselors? Friends, here's the really exciting part. 6 men and women are currently currently preparing for certification. Kara and Andy Kaler, Matt and Ashley Hendrickson, Brenda Runkle, and I are all somewhere along the track, some beginning and some closing the final leg of the journey through certification, through the nationally recognized Association of Certified Biblical Counselors. And if you wanted to know how rare and how unusual that is, all you'd have to do is visit the ACBC website. Go to biblicalcounseling.org and then click on Find a Counselor and then put in 55364, put in our zip code. And what you discover is that there are currently as many ACBC certified counselors in the entire state of Minnesota as we are to have on track here in our fellowship in less than 4 years' time. That's not just rare and unusual, that's a gift of God's sovereign grace. And with counseling training recently announced to be opening up in Eden Prairie at Grace Church, not only are we expecting five of us to be attending that counseling training, but given the proximity of those resources, I suspect that some of you who may have been on the bubble as to whether or not to go to Des Moines may come with us to Eden Prairie, and we may see a few other men and women join this group. A cohort of biblical counselors in training has already begun at this church, and you are welcome to join. Please come and talk to me if you're interested. Andy and Kara as well can field your questions. So let's envision the Harbor Center for Biblical Counseling. Let's enlist and equip and empower the counselors. I can't wait to see what God may do in 2016. Now that's the positive side of the ledger. And frankly, that's most of the sermon. Now we've got to land the plane, but there are three more goals that we haven't talked about. And so in the moments, fleeting moments that we have left, allow me to simply call our attention to some areas of focus, one area of concern specifically, as well as room for growth. I'd like to draw our attention to goal number one, bullet point number one. Baptizing 50 new believers. 12 months have elapsed since the initial casting of the vision. How are we doing on this one? Friends, I have some news for us, and I'd like it to burn in unforgettably at this point. How many people have we led to saving faith in Jesus Christ and on into the waters of baptism over this last year? Answer, not one. Let that have a moment to set in and sting, if it hasn't. Not one single solitary convert, not one person who's professed fresh faith in Jesus Christ through the witness of this church and led to the waters of baptism as a public proclamation of the new birth. Not one. Now, we mustn't forget we had the unspeakable privilege of baptizing three precious saints in our fellowship last summer. They have since become regular attendees of our church, Terry and Diane, Zachary Kruger. I can't tell you how grateful I am that they're among us. Praise God for this family. Terry in particular has become a precious friend to me over this last year. However, the Krugers would be first to tell you that they are not new believers. Not by a long shot. We had the joy of serving them and providing them a spiritual family among whom they could walk out their public confession of Christ through the ordinance of water baptism, and it was a high privilege to celebrate the step with them. I would not minimize that. So thankful for our elders that nudged us in that direction. But they know, and I know, and Christ knows, and you know, if you're thinking soberly about this, that there's a difference. That was not conversion growth. That was transfer growth. Goal number one in our 2020 vision is not about transfer growth. That may be a byproduct of the 2020 vision. It is in no way any goal of the 2020 vision. Conversion growth, goal number one, is about the five names on your list of five. I hope you have a list of five. And if you don't, we've got them in Fellowship Hall before you leave, right by the counseling booklets. And you say, but the people on my list of five are all out-of-state extended family members from Paducah, Kentucky. To which I say, it sounds like you're going to need a list of 10. Get a list of five and put the names of five people among whom you live or work, study or play, and invite them into your life. Get on your knees, move your feet, and open your mouth for the sake of Jesus Christ. And you say, but that's a lot harder. And you know what? Maybe. Maybe. But that's conversion growth. That is true gospel growth. That grows the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Invite people far from Christ but close to you into the orb of your life. Have them in your home. Invite them to your community group. Bring them to the Wednesday evening meal. Refer them over the days ahead to our fledgling counseling center. Spend time with them. Invite them in time to our weekly worship gathering. I wouldn't say this is point number one for invitation. It's probably quite a few points down the line. As I've said to you before, most of my neighbors will not listen to a 35-minute sermon. They just won't. But they'd come to dinner tomorrow night if I'd ask them. They would. And they have. Invite them into your life. Get a vision for folks on your list of five. 50 new believers led to the waters of baptism over the next 4 years. You say, can it be done? Ha. Well, not apart from Christ. John 15:5, Jesus says with crystal clarity, apart from me, you can do nothing. Philippians 4:13 says, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We have roughly 50 households. If you were to run the gamut from covenant members to regular attendees, we have 50 households in this church. That's each one reaching one over the course of the next 4 years. That's doable. By God's grace, we can and will do this. Now, I fully admit regeneration is a gift of God. You're not going to find a bigger champion for the fact that God regenerates sinners to new life in Christ. New birth is totally a work of the Holy Spirit alone. But God helping us then, let's seek to be spiritual midwives to the new birth for folks on our list of five. God makes Christians, but Christians carrying the gospel are the means he uses to do it. So let's not be stingy with the gospel in 2016. Let's come to January 17, this time next year, with a new story on bullet point number one. This summer, let's hit Lake Minnetonka with new believers. Amen? Wouldn't that be a miracle? Sixth and seventh, we'll take briefly and together. Commissioning two families for global missions. Commissioning two families for global missions. Now, with our, I'm prospecting here a little bit, with our mortgage paid in full here at the beginning of 2016. Does that sound right? Mortgage paid in full right now? We have just freed up dollars, a lot of resources for the advance of the gospel. And high priority on those resources are our current six missionary families. The Bryces here, stateside, the Blisses in Bulgaria, Stouts in Macedonia, Hutchcrafts in Russia, Brogans in England, and Lees in Japan. Over the next year, we will recommit to strengthening our grip on these families and resourcing them in the way that is appropriate for overseas missionaries, in prayer support, in steady fellowship, and in financial resources. These commitments are in place and will be increasingly in place. Then we will strain forward to the 2020 vision, which is releasing two families from our midst for global missions. What does Paul say in Romans 1:16? For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for the salvation to all believe, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Though it's early yet, here's my pastoral plea for us as we consider foreign mission field to approach global ministries. Let's do it to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. I've read that in Romans repeatedly. It just became true for me over this past year. Imagine sending a family to Israel, to Tel Aviv, to Haifa, to Jerusalem, in order to proclaim the gospel among God's ancient covenant people, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Dream with me about sending a family, not where the gospel's already been proclaimed, not where there's as Paul says, building on someone else's foundation, but rather among the unreached and the unengaged, where the name of Jesus simply is not known. You know, that's 45 minutes from where the Stouts are going to be living starting on Monday. Macedonia, Tivo, Macedonia. Perhaps we would send a family into the 1040 window, perhaps the Middle East, among radical Islam. Dream with me. 2016, strengthening our grip on the six families that we have, and then praying that God would raise up two more families in our midst for global missions. I've said this before, but in the fall of 2015, Matt Hutchcraft was sitting about where Karen is, and a firecracker went off in his soul, and he knew he needed to go to Russia. And Russia was not a part of that sermon series. So if you sense God doing something as we're talking this way, pay attention to that. Now, I'd like to address the final goal of planting one church, but let's do that in passing as we seek to sum up where we've been this morning. So how can you be a part of this? First, turn from your sins and put your faith in Jesus Christ. If you've come to us today and you're not a believer, we want you to come to know Jesus. We don't want to be shy about burying our lead, particularly as we meet together as a church. If you don't know God through Christ, or you're not sure if you know God, if you think you know Christ but you need assurance of salvation, come and talk to us. We'll be right down here after the benediction. We would love to talk with you. Turn from your sins and put your faith in Jesus, the King and senior pastor of this church and every church. Secondly, pray for and pursue your list of five with abandon. Pray, that's the first check mark at the bottom of your bulletin. Pray for and pursue your list of five with abandon. Next, attend our monthly concert of prayer, the 2020 Vision Prayer Meeting. Come this Wednesday, 6:30. We'll be right here and we're going to pray for this vision. We'll pray for everybody on your list of five by name. And then finally, just, it's a little subjective here, but ask the Lord about your next step in our vision. Just ask the Lord what it would look like. What area of our vision can you go further into or further along toward? Rest assured that as your pastors and elders come to visit with you, we will ask you about your next step in the vision. To be and make disciples of Jesus Christ. This is not a New Year's resolution. This is our mission. 2015 was a year of God's kindness to our church. We have objective evidence of this reality as we think about the welcoming of covenant members, raising up of reproducing leaders, the launching of community groups, deliberate concrete steps toward the establishing of the Biblical Counseling Center, the Harbor Center. By God's mercy and grace, 2015 was a good year for our church. A good year for our church. Yet, we will not walk one single pace further unless or until we are facing forward as a congregation. We're already 3 days into the new year. There's only 362 days left until we do this again. What are we going to do with that time? Well, let's look forward to strengthening the initiatives already begun, fortify and further the gains of 2015, but with everything we have stretching forward to the baptizing of new believers, to the calling out and commissioning of two missionary families, and eventually, in time, this year especially, we will be working more closely and more intentionally with the North Central District of the Evangelical Free Church. In the days ahead, we will be collaborating with other mission-minded, multiplication-focused churches in our own movement toward the realization of our final goal, which is planting a church by January 2020. Issues related to location and resources, as well as personnel, will all be matters of focused and thoughtful prayer and planning over 2016. Mount Evangelical Free Church, our mission, and we choose to accept it, is to be and make disciples of Jesus Christ. God grant that our 2020 vision propels that mission forward exponentially in the days ahead. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you. First of all, thank you for the patience of brothers and sisters in the room. Lord, this is worth pondering and getting right here. I pray that, Lord, as our community groups meet this week, that we would take those study questions and work this through and ask wisdom questions all over this vision. That we would keep working and contemplating the goals so that to make sure we have them right, Christ-honoring focus as a church, and then may we move forward with abandon, no matter what the risk, to be and make disciples of Jesus in these concrete ways, Lord. We thank you for the vision you've given this church. I thank you for the fingerprints, Lord, of former elders and leaders among us. I thank you for the work that our North Central District and the imprint that they have had on this. And now, Lord, we move forward as a congregation to walk out in concrete ways, even this very afternoon, toward the realization of the 2020 vision. In Jesus' name, amen.